This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All
right. Hello, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Apologist. If my voice sounds a little different, it's because this is co-host Steven taking over the show because Craig abandoned me. He went to vacation. So I've hijacked the show. So that's why the voice sounds a little different, because it's not the voice you're used to. I've also brought a special guest to help me out with this show. He is angrier than Braun Strowman. He is my real-life brother, not kayfabe, Rage from the Rage and Blaze Show. Hello, Rage.
I'm Rage from the Rage and Blaze Show.
All right. So Rage is going to watch Payback with me. We're going to review the pay-per-view after the pay-per-view, 1 week apart. WWE's Payback.
And we're going to watch this show, and we're going to review it, and that's okay.
That is okay. All right. So are you looking forward to Payback?
I'm looking forward to it. I do find it a little awkward that they did two back-to-back weekends of pay-per-views in the old scheme of the way wrestling used to be done, which I know the Rage and Blaze show is all about old school wrestling. I know we're going to try to go as far as we can go with that show, get into the more modern stuff eventually. But as of now, we're pretty, you know, we're still stuck in the 80s. So, as a traditionalist, it's just kind of odd to see, because it used to be, you know, once a month you got a pay-per-view and you had to pay $60.
Actually,
for
it used to be like,
well, yeah, there was less than that. But I'm saying when we were watching growing up, you know, there was usually once a month, you know, pay-per-views and everything. And it's just kind of odd to see it back-to-back weekends. And this format really only works with the WWE Network. I don't think they ever would have expected back-to-back pay-per-views being bought. I think they would have definitely bombed on that scenario if they were asking people to pay $60 two weekends in a row. So it's still hard for me to wrap my head around this. But, I mean, you get two pay-per-views back-to-back weekends. It's kind of cool.
Wouldn't it have worked if we didn't have WWE Network, that's for sure.
No, it wouldn't have worked. And I also don't think it gave enough time to build up some of these matches.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest complaints. And I've heard rumors saying that they just had so many matches for SummerSlam, and instead of doing a two-part show like they did with WrestleMania, they just made another pay-per-view right afterwards to kind of get the overflow, because we get some Big E in this one and wrestlers that weren't in the SummerSlam show.
Yeah, I get that, but it just, to me, it was just kind of a lackluster build-up. You get a Keith Lee versus Randy Orton match after Keith Lee's literal one day on Monday Night Raw with not much of a build-up other than, I'm going to come out and make a name for myself, Keith Lee. The only match they really prepared us for, and they did it even before SummerSlam, was they let us know there was going to be a tag team title match, or a women's tag team title match. They were going to defend the titles.
And we didn't even
know who they were going to face. Then on Monday Night Raw, they just randomly put two wrestlers together that don't even like each other. So it was just kind of like, here, we're just going to throw this together and see how it goes. Just to me, that's kind of lazy, but, I felt like they could have at least done it maybe 2 weeks and build it up, but hey, we get it tonight. We're going to watch it tonight. We're going to review it based off of the show and how much we like it. Not really the lack of build up, which unfortunately that does kind of play a part. I know one of the other matches you've got, Universal Championship match, which is a triple threat match.
And returning Roman Reigns.
Yeah, the only build-up you had was a the end of SummerSlam. So you're like, okay, well, Roman Reigns is back, and now he's going to be in the main event. So
still kind of excited about the show. So I have a question for you, Rage.
What's that?
You made some comments about how Craig's voice is on this show, and Craig has responded quite a bit. And he's kind of been taking digs at you. Anything you'd like to say to Craig about that?
No, I think, Craig does him, I do me, and that's okay.
I feel like you might be making fun of his voice some more. Wow, you're just really going to start this feud going here.
No, he's got his show, he's got his thing. And I've got my thing, and that's okay.
Wow. We got a rivalry brewing up against Rage and PWA's Craig.
And we can talk about this whenever you would like.
Well, he argues that was the voice that is... his mother and father gave him. He can't help it.
Well, sometimes you have to overcome the odds, and that's okay.
Well, Craig's gonna hate this episode. Well, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves the fact that we're doing this, right?
Oh yeah. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. All right, so. You know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time
PWA WTF Hall of Fame?
Okay, so for my Hall of Fame, I decided to go with the legendary story of when WCW and Eric Bischoff decided to capitalize on the booming Kiss band in 1999. So they did this maybe a little 30 years late. So they were definitely trying to capture an audience here. But it's a very interesting story. The story is that Eric Bischoff, he ended up, striking a deal with the band Kiss, and he got them to perform on Monday Nitro. They performed the song God of Thunder, and, they decided to introduce a Kiss themed wrestler named the Demon, or Kiss Demon, which I think they kind of shortened to the Demon the longer he wrestled. I don't think they
wrestled for a long time.
Actually, he actually wrestled till the end of the promotion.
Oh.
which might be why they went bankrupt, because they
late
90s.
Okay.
This was 99. This lasted, they went belly up, 2001. So this lasted for maybe 2 years. But the original character was so the Night of Nitro. The original person playing the character was Bryan Adams, who is also known, as WWF fans know, was Crush in the WWF.
I thought he was a singer.
He is also a singer. he was multi-talented in the 90s, doing Robin Hood movies, singing, and also wrestling at the same time. He's a very talented person. So
everything he does it for you.
Yeah. And he did it for the fans. So Bryan Adams, originally played the Demon, but, he rejected the gimmick after two appearances, and he never even wrestled a match. He just didn't feel comfortable with the character. So it got off at a rocky start already after the premiere.
Sounds like he thought it sucked.
He definitely saw it was not a very good gimmick from the get-go. So then he decided to – well, he didn't. I mean, management decided to pass the gimmick on to Dale Torberg. And
he ended up playing the character for the duration in any of the matches ever wrestled by the Kiss Demon, was wrestled by, or was, you know, portrayed by Dale Torborg. And the Kiss Demon actually was supposed to be the first of a stable called the, I think it was like the Kiss Army, but I believe there was a name for it. There was what was the stable called? The Warriors of Kiss. So it was supposed to be the first character of the Warriors of Kiss, and it was supposed to represent, each character was supposed to represent one of the Kiss members of the band. And you know, this would be a great idea. NWO's hot, you know, all this is hot, you know, in the late 90s, so why not have a Kiss stable, right? Because that's just a great idea for wrestling, right? So it was such a bad deal, though, because they actually forced in the contract, Gene Simmons put in the contract with Eric Bischoff, that the Kiss Demon had to be a main eventer. So this was such a bad deal for WCW because the fans rejected this character immediately, and they were forced to put this guy in the main event. Of course, he did not win when they finally put him in the main event.
No, he didn't have that in the contract, too?
No, he didn't have to win, but he had to be in the main event pitcher. So it was just a horrible, horrible idea. Eric Bischoff was fired soon after the gimmick premiered, so WCW just buried the character pretty early. But unfortunately, well,
he went back to Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, well, no, what he did was he actually wrestled as this character, and I believe he even joined a stable. So anyhow, Eric Bischoff was fired fairly soon after he started this gimmick, and the WCW management had no real ties to this character, so they didn't really do much with him. But he did get his main event match in 1999 New Year's Eve pay-per-view against Vampiro. So the pay-per-view and the match were taken off the table. However, after Eric Bischoff lost his position in September of 99, in order to fulfill the contractual obligation, he was booked in a special main event match at Super Brawl in early 2000. Uncharacteristic to main event matches, it was the fourth match on the card and saw Torborg face The Wall, which saw The Wall win with a choke slam. Because Bischoff lost his position before the character's wrestling debut, the Demon character got off to a rocky start, losing to Terry Funk in its debut. Bookers at the time wanted to make Eric Bischoff look bad. Torborg contends that the character was hurt because the Kiss concert to the debut of the Demon was one of the lowest rated segments in the history of WCW Nitro up to that point. And even though Bischoff believed in the character, others believed it was dead on arrival. So he then dropped the Kiss Demon name and became just the Demon, but he still looked like Gene Simmons as a wrestler. And he was placed in a stable with Vampiro and the Insane Clown Posse. So this just gets so much better.
You know, just
this stable was called the Dark Carnival. He later turned against the group and feuded with Vampiro when WCW was bought out by the then World Wrestling Federation in 2001. Torborg opted to go back to baseball as a strength coach and not do his scheduled tryout for WWE. So he was done at that point, but he actually survived. This character survived up until the death of WCW, which is just amazing to me that it lasted that long. But I think part of the reason the character lasted so long is because how much money they had to invest with Kiss to make this character, and I think they were contractually obligated. The interesting thing about this character is when researching, I actually tried to look up the episode of Nitro, and they have edited it out because Kiss
would not allow it to be shown. So the sad thing is you have this character in history that came out that Kiss forced them to do all this stuff with. And now on WWE Network, you can't even see his debut where Kiss performed that God of Thunder because Kiss is so embarrassed that they don't want, they don't want WWE to show it on the WWE Network. But I'm sure there's licensing issues. They're singing their songs and stuff like that. So it's just kind of interesting that they've almost erased him from history. But I did go back and see that you can find some of his matches after I think they dropped the Kiss Demon name. But a lot of it, I think a lot of the music that he comes out to originally with the Kiss song, God of Thunder and everything, all that's been edited out of WWE Network.
All right. Well, that was a pretty good induction to the PWA, WTF, Hall of Fame. All right.
Hey, yo, man, it's Craig. I got to thinking, you know, I know I gave you the go-ahead to do PWA without me. And, I don't know, man, I just got to thinking, I don't want that. I just don't want that. And I'm sure you can understand, you know, PWA, it's like my child. It's my only child. Besides my actual child. But it means a lot to me, and I'd like to keep it just me and you, if you don't mind. Definitely need you to not do my podcast without me. If you want, you could do a best of. I'm sure we could pull off a best of. I just take some of my zingers, you know, some of my best stuff. Let me know if you put together that best stuff. Just get back to me either way. Just whatever you do, don't do my show without me. All right. Thanks, man. Don't do the show without me.
Yeah, I don't think Craig's cool with this.
What?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like he wants us to go through with the podcast.
Why would you say that?
Well, he just said it in the voicemail.
What voicemail?
The voicemail we just heard. Did you not listen to the voicemail?
No. I'll listen to it later.
Okay, well, I suppose we're going through with this?
Yeah, well, I mean, why wouldn't we? I don't understand what the problem is.
Because I think Craig just said no.
Why would he do that? He totally told me it was okay. It's fine. It's fine.
We're okay. Cool. All right.
Let's do this. Let's talk about the first match.
You mean the match between Bobby Lashley representing the Hurt Business versus Apollo Crews for the United States Championship? That match?
Yeah, that match. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that match because I'll tell you what, I think it was a pretty good match. And, you know, the surprise of the match was that there was no surprise. You get what I'm saying here? The Hurt Business won the title, or Bobby Lashley won the title cleanly. He didn't need the Hurt Business to help, and he made him tap. Apollo Crews tapped out, gave away his title. I was more shocked that nothing happened, and actually I was more shocked about what happened at the end of the match with the way Apollo Crews was reacting to the win, because they did their little, that was weird, a little snapshot celebration they were doing. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, that's different. That's interesting.
So they did the little snapshot celebration they were doing. Then Apollo Crews attacked, and he was acting more of like a heel than the Hurt Business was.
Yeah, Apollo just attacked him afterwards. He definitely was playing the heel. It was kind of weird. I'm not sure if they're really going to go with a heel Apollo here, or mean, Hurt Business is clearly a
I don't think they're going with a face Hurt Business.
I think
either.
He's just. I think it was more of a he's mad situation.
You know, but the reaction he had almost felt like he got cheated out of the championship, but he didn't. It was.
No, he
it
just
was
lost.
It was, that's the thing. It was a clean win, which was surprised.
Plus, it was a submission move, so it's even more like legit because he tapped out.
Right. So, I mean, I thought the match was pretty good. Nothing over spectacular, nothing bad. It was a good match. There was one moment that just kind of, like, irked me. It was weird. He knocked Bobby Lashley out of the ring, and you almost expected Apollo to kind of jump over the ropes and do something. But no, then Apollo went up to the top ropes while Bobby Lashley came back in the ring. It was kind of a... For me, it was kind of an awkward moment. It felt like maybe somebody missed a spot.
Yeah.
It just either Bobby thought something else was going to happen or Apollo just forgot to do something. There was a moment in the match that was just kind of like maybe it was the way the cameraman was doing it. It just kind of felt like something was supposed to happen that didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps. Like I said, it was a decent power versus power match. Both Apollo and Bobby Lashley are both, you know, very decent strongmen.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Bobby. As a matter of fact, I actually think, I thought back in the day, and then now that he's back, I've always thought he could be a guy that could be in the main event picture. And I think a lot of the reason he needs the Hurt Business is
he's not very good on the mic.
Yeah.
No, I actually love him in this role.
He's a guy that would need, like, the Hurt Business to talk for him, or maybe a Paul Heyman to help him.
Well,
because I think he's actually looks very dominant in the ring, and I think he's a very good wrestler.
And they've made him, like, very aggressive these days. So
yeah, and I like that about that.
I think that's pretty cool. And I think MVP's a great mouthpiece for him. So.
I've always been a fan of MVP. So I like MVP.
I think this is a great spot for him. And it's kind of weird that MVP had the United States champion, and now Apollo's taken it. So two members of
You mean Bobby.
Or I'm sorry. Did I say Apollo?
Apollo.
Sorry,
Apollo just
Bobby,
lost it. But
Bobby
yeah.
took it now, and it was before MVP that had it.
Well,
so.
And the question now going forward is this going to cause friction between Bobby Lashley and MVP?
I don't think
based
so.
Based off of what we saw in the celebration, they didn't give us a hint of anything like that would be the case.
I'm just curious how Shelton's going to get it now. So
yeah,
so all three members get the United States championship.
That'd be interesting. I really like Shelton too. So
yeah, I love Shelton.
Shelton's another guy that I think needs help talking.
Yeah, he's not great,
but he's a great wrestler. Oh my gosh, he's a great wrestler.
Oh, he's amazing.
I love Shelton Benjamin.
But then there was that whole thing where he had his mom.
Yeah, the mom thing was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I thought the match was pretty clean, good match. It wasn't bad. I thought it had some good spots. It just had that one little moment that I just kind of thought was a little awkward. Just felt like something was missed there, but it might have been the cameraman that screwed me up there, not because it didn't really follow Apollo. It followed Bobby, and then you almost felt like, well, Apollo's going to jump up and do something. You know how you see guys just run and jump over the ropes and crash and burn on the outside, and that didn't happen. So it was just kind of an awkward moment, in my opinion. Maybe I'm looking too far into it, but for me, while watching the match, that was the only thing that kind of stood out that felt a little different. But other than that, I thought the match was great. I mean, I think those two worked well together.
Yep. So let's go on to the next match.
Okay, so before the next match, we get a couple promos. We get Paul Heyman being interviewed. He didn't really say much of anything except for, you know, I shouldn't have to go through my resume. People already know what I've done. And, you know, Roman Reigns, we expect to sign this contract.
Yeah. He said he still hasn't done it. She asked him if Roman is going to sign the contract tonight. And he's like, I don't know. You'll have to ask Roman that.
Right. So that was kind of a, just a little small, you know, just get Paul Heyman noticed, I guess. Not really, you know.
A little. Yeah, it's kind of building up for the main event. I'm assuming that's the main event.
Yeah, you would. Well, it could be.
It could be Randy and.
No, that would be. I mean, it's for the Universal Championship. Yeah, and it's I would hope so.
It's the Fiend, too. So.
Right. So
I'm guessing that's the main event.
It's probably the main event. And so then we get another little promo. This time it is with Keith Lee and JBL. A little bit of a, almost like inviting him to almost like a millionaire's club or something. And didn't quite understand, you know, and Keith Lee's kind of like, I don't have that kind of, resources.
Right.
You know, so it was, you know, but then towards the end, it kind of got sinister with JBL, almost like, you know, Randy's the greatest ever. So just almost like, if you'd lose, don't feel bad, you know?
Right.
So, just a little bit of a, you know, just get a little bit of a legend there. You know, I kind of always liked JBL. He was a good heel. He was very, very good heel. So that's what we get before the match. And then we, come to the match and we've got.
We get a recap with, from Smack Talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped that part where Big E is talking to The Miz on Smack Talk and, really didn't pertain to this match, though. It was just kind of.
Yeah, Big E was essentially saying that, you know, because Miz was saying, well, when I stopped all the goofy stuff, and that's when I became a main eventer, and Big E's just like, well, I'm actually very proud of my team because we did it our way, and we became big, and we became bigger than anybody expected us to be. I mean, it was just cool little segment, and I know that my co-host. That when he listens to this, if I didn't talk about everything Big E, he would kill me. So.
He seems to be a big fan of Big E, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then the next match, we have Sheamus versus Craig's wet dream, Big E.
Wow. So he really probably sits on the speakers when Big E does his intro, you know, about feel the power.
Yes.
Sits on the speakers, kind of does a Howard Stern thing from Private Parts. I gotcha.
Yeah, he loves Big E.
Okay.
He wants Big E to be the biggest thing in wrestling.
Well, you know, and Big E is pretty charismatic. He talks very well.
Oh, I don't. I love him too, actually.
The only thing I will say, and Craig's going to hate his own podcast here in a minute, this was a very slow match.
It was.
And to be completely honest, Big E took such a beating in this match. Sheamus really should have won this match. Big E really had, what, maybe three moves to end this match that finished it off. And I know we've...
Yeah, but he had that really cool spear through the
ropes. He had a really good spear. He speared Sheamus all the way through the ropes down onto the on the floor there, and it looked amazing. I thought that looked really cool. And then he had a pretty good counter to Sheamus with a pretty good power bomb. And then
when Sheamus tried for the brogue kick,
tried for the brogue kick.
Sheamus really worked on the leg a lot, which kept. Most of the start of this match, less Big E, which I'm sure Craig would agree, that's a terrible thing to do is have less Big E in control.
This definitely was a way that they almost showcased Sheamus in a way that, yeah, you're going to lose the match, but we're going to highlight you in a sense. And then Big E, you get the win. It was just a very slow, methodical... working on the legs, submissions, it was kind of a slow match for me. I mean.
Well, as we've talked about on our other show, the Rage and Blaze show, I like these, I like the story it tells when someone works on a submission, works on the legs, because they know that, and then they even talk about it in the match, you know, you take out those legs on Big E and you take away his power game, you know? So, I like the story it tells. So it was a little slow. I get it, but you know it's all about telling a story, and that's what they did. Mind you, in overall, it didn't work because Big E does the big ending. wins this 1-2-3. However, you know, it tells a story. I like people working on the legs and doing submission moves and like trying to slow it down. It makes sense, like especially with the powerhouse, it makes sense because you take out the legs and you can't lift things as well. With a speedy guy, it slows the match down. You don't want to play to their rhythm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I get it. But it just as a fan watching the match, it almost feels like enough is enough. It's like, okay, yeah, work on the body part and then give me something. And then maybe work on it again. But this just felt like, and very early on, it felt like anytime Big E tried to do anything, he would get maybe one move in and then Sheamus would be right back on top of him. And it just made the match, to me, slower paced, not as exciting to watch.
I get what you're saying. I liked it. I thought it was a good match between two. I mean, I've never hated Sheamus either. Sheamus he's always been a pretty good wrestler as well. And I do. I may not have Craig's love for Big E, but I do like me some Big E. Okay, Big E is great.
You might think he might pale in comparison to Big E.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Fair. All right. So, but you know the right man won because they've been pushing Big E. They've been talking about how he's doing the singles run, and it would have made absolutely no sense for Sheamus to win unless he like did some bullshittery and cheated or something.
Yeah, I didn't expect Big E to lose this match. It was just the way the match went. It just really was Big E constantly getting, you know, abused. And then finally at the end of the match, it almost felt like he kind of, hawked up in a sense.
I think similar to
an Hogan match where he just kind of hawks up at the end and gets the win. It was just one of them.
The phrase you're looking for is he overcomes the odds.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what happened.
Okay.
He overcomed what happened and pulled through, won the match. And he had that awesome spear.
I will say the spear was the highlight of the match. The spear was amazing. I thought just how cool that spear was. I guess if you just, obviously if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are watching this or have already watched this, but that was an amazing spear. I was so shocked because usually you see guys kind of hit from the ring and then kind of
knock them down.
Yeah. Knock them down.
Big E just goes right into it.
Big E went all the way through the ropes. And I just thought it was a hellacious spear. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Because Big E's a badass. All right, let's get to the next.
Okay, so before the next match, we had a promo with Matt Riddle being interviewed, and it got a little personal.
Yeah, they brought up the Candy Cartwright affair, which the original bro denies that he sexually assaulted her, but did admit to having an affair with her and that she stalked him afterwards.
Yeah, so she brought up the tweet that King Corbin had tweeted, and it said, "You are a failure in the WWE and a failure at home." Looking at the face of Matt Riddle, he did not like that too much.
Not a fan.
All.
Yeah, they brought his home life into kayfabe.
Yeah.
So
it looked he didn't look like he was ready for that. So if that was acting,
it's good acting.
Good acting, cuz he did not look happy. So then we get another promo with Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. And basically, it kind of reiterated how much these girls don't like each other, but they're going to work together to try to dethrone the women's tag team champions. And
I think they will.
I think they are. Yeah. I think they're going to win the, tag titles. It'll be like an odd couple tag title situation where the two don't like each other, but they're going to win the titles. And I think this is also going to start something between,
I think this is what
Bayley and
what
Sasha
we've been
Banks.
Building up for with Bayley and
yeah, you've noticed Sasha Banks you've for noticed for weeks the little looks
weeks?
At each. You know,
they've been building this for months.
Okay, so I'm really looking forward to a feud between those two. Personal opinion, current WWE landscape right now, they're probably my favorite thing in wrestling. So
we love them. So I'm not exactly super happy that it looks like that Shayna and I do like Shayna. I like Baszler. Not a big fan of Nia Jax. So I'm not, but it could be interesting. These two, it's like, I hate you, you hate me, but we're the tag titles. I don't, yeah, maybe interesting.
I just think the highlight of these shows lately for me have been Bayley and Sasha.
Oh, and I'm sure we're going to still get plenty of Bayley and Sasha, but it's going to be in a different format.
Yeah.
So,
but they kind of remind me of a female version, maybe a modern version of what Shawn and Triple H was in the beginning of DX.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they don't have, you know, China there, and they don't have Rick Rude at the beginning, or, you know, it's not the full, you know, package there, but just the way they kind of just are going around having fun, it just kind of reminds me of that chemistry that Shawn and Triple H had early, you know, when they first
started.
They're
a little more heelish than them, but I can see the comparison.
Well, if you remember right, they were originally heel. I mean, when Shawn was a part of DX, they were all heel. It wasn't until after Shawn lost the title and left the picture that they became more faces towards, you know.
I always just remember that even though they were heel, they were still pretty, like, loved heels, and they weren't, I don't remember them insulting the crowd as much as Bayley and Sasha do.
Oh, no. Well, who knows? I'd have to go back and watch. I'm just pointing out that that's just kind of what they remind me of.
No, I really see the comparison.
I enjoy the chemistry between those two. And it'll be a shame if they get split up tonight, because I think definitely where it's heading. But I really enjoy those two together. And now we'll see them by themselves. We'll see how it goes. But just together, they're one of my favorite things in wrestling right now.
Right. All right. So then we go on to the match. Or the original bro, Matt Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
Faces.
I know on a podcast you cannot hear eye rolls, but but that is exactly what I did. I'm just not sold on this original bro thing. He kind of annoys me when he walks out to that little motion he walks out to. He just seems like a douche to me. I actually hate the fact that he's a face and that we're supposed to root for him, because I was rooting for Baron Corbin to take his head off.
Yeah, but I'm not a huge fan of, I mean, I like, okay, so Baron Corbin is who he's facing. And quite frankly with me, Corbin, I like him as a heel because he's one of the few true heels where people hate him. Truly hate him, and nowadays fans like heels most of the time, you know? He's just so unlikable. He has a couple cool moves. Deep Six is a pretty cool move.
Which we got to see
here.
We
did. But I'm not a big fan of his wrestling on most occasion, and I don't know if I dislike him as much, and I kind of agree. I think his little bro stuff would be much better suited as a heel. I think if he was just really cocky and doing all this stuff, I think it might work better for him. I haven't warmed up completely with Matt Riddle either, but I don't know if I dislike him, but
I don't know if hate's a strong word. It's one of them type of guys that when he comes out, I roll my eyes. Like, I don't like the music. I don't like the motion. I just don't like.
You don't like him saying bro 28 times?
Yeah, I just don't like the. I don't know. Maybe I just get annoyed of him. But when you see him in the ring, he's actually not that bad.
No, he's good in the ring.
He's pretty good. I did once again insert eye roll when I heard that it. I didn't know this. I've been watching, and I don't recall them ever doing the bro to sleep in any other matches.
That's the first time I've noticed.
This is the first time I've ever noticed him do the bro to sleep, and I heavy eye roll when it did. I was like, come on, man! It's like, you know, because it's CM Punk's move. You know, GTS, yeah. Go to sleep. So it's like, I don't know. And then he had, what was the Flying Bro?
Flying Bro. Which that was actually kind of cool.
It was actually a pretty good move. I just.
Like he flipped off the rope and landed on a reverse senton. It was weird. It was unique. It was pretty decent.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just not sold on this guy yet. The match was halfway decent. Like I said, he's a better wrestler than a character. I don't know. I just can't get into this guy.
Yeah.
So we'll talk more, about the match. There was, I think this match had a very good pace there. And okay, so to argue what we talked about the Sheamus match, I thought, the Sheamus match was a little slow, but to argue the point that I was trying to make, that you said you like that, you know, it tells a story. They did, King Corbin did some submission moves in this, worked on some piece, but I thought this was a fast-paced, good match. They didn't overdo these submission moves. So I'm just saying how I felt this flowed better. Does that make any sense? Like, I saw him working on some body parts here, but there was enough in between where they kept the action moving and they didn't sit there and hold a submission hold for 5 minutes while we sat there. And
see, I thought the beginning was a little slow. I wasn't too big on it. It started picking up right around the time that Corbin does this thing where he slides out of the ring and then slides back in, and he normally hits like a clothesline or something. But in this one, Matt Riddle does a kick to his head and he just rolls right out of the ring. It was kind of really well timed reversal. I enjoyed that. And then it started picking up after that for me. So I liked half of this match. and like I said, the finisher he does, the Flying Bro, was actually really cool and unique. And then we got a really devastating deep six by Corbin.
Yeah, and I really hated that the original bro kicked out of that.
Yes. Well, and then, yeah, I didn't realize he did CM Punk's go to sleep. I'm sorry, bro to sleep.
Dear Lord.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not huge on him myself, but, you know, it was an all right match.
Fair enough. I just, we can move on. I don't know, maybe I'll warm up to him eventually, but right now I'm just not into it. Okay, so after that match, I get a present gift wrapped by a king. King Corbin did not take his beating or his defeat very graciously, because he just beat the hell out of the original bro. So maybe that's the last we'll see of him.
Maybe. All right.
I was so happy. Yes! Jeez.
Hey, buddy, it's me again. Just getting ready for vacation and just still waiting on that call back from you to confirm that you're not going to do the podcast without me. I just want to make that clear. Do not do the podcast without me. Please. Yeah, I know we discussed you doing Payback, but I mean, is there even any matches booked for Payback? I mean, as far as I know, I mean, I haven't got around to watching wrestling this week, but isn't it just like one half of a match? Just don't do it. You don't need to do the podcast without me. Just best of, man. Just the best of. I'm sure you can find a best of times that I've like fat jokes, you know? It's still do the podcast without me.
I don't think your buddy wants us to do this.
I'm sorry, what? I was just looking at this post by Bobby. He said, pros of wearing all black, I look badass. Cons of wearing all black, everyone knows I had powdered donuts. I mean, what were you talking about?
I don't think your buddy wants us to do this podcast.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why? I didn't.
I think he's feeling a little left out. Like, maybe this is his show.
Nah, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. I don't. No, I'm sure he's fine. No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm sure.
Are you sure? Because I just heard a voicemail.
What voicemail?
The voicemail that we just heard.
Oh, no. That was probably something going off, something else. Nah, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
We got sure this. We can continue this? Because
yeah,
I feel like maybe we're invading his personal space here. Like, maybe this is his, this is kind of his baby.
I don't see why you would think that. I think we should just go on to the next match.
Okay, if you say so.
Okay, so the next match is the WWE Women's Tag Team title match against Sasha. It's Sasha Banks and Bayley, the champions, versus Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax. And before the match, we get a promo. Well, not a promo. I'm sorry. A video package showing kind of what's been going on with Sasha and Bayley since winning the women's tag titles. This match, in my opinion, has been the highlight of the night so far. It was a very exciting match, in my opinion. You had Nia Jax throwing Sasha Banks around like a rag doll outside of the ring. There was one blemish. There was a tag team move that Bayley and Sasha Banks tried to do, and they tried to throw down Shayna Baszler, and it kind of looked like one of them threw her down and the other one just kind of let go and dropped her. It just kind of looked awkward. It just didn't look like they were in sync. But other than that one little blemish, I thought this match was super exciting and had a great ending. The way Shayna Baszler won this match for her team was just a double submission on both Sasha Banks and Bayley. I absolutely loved the ending. I hated seeing the champions lose, but I have a feeling this is leading to a different story where I think the two of them are going to start feuding. But it doesn't seem to have happened yet so far, at least not what.
No, I think we're going to get that build going on.
And keep in mind, we had like the King Corbin attack on the original bro, Matt Riddle, after the match was over. So there's a chance that maybe we get something in this pay-per-view before the end of the show, or maybe they'll just wait till Raw or SmackDown. So very, very interested to see where this leads. I really, really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, there was three really great wrestlers in this match in Nia Jax. It was.
Oh, come on. What is wrong with Nia Jax?
She's just, I don't like her. I can't warm up to her. I don't know.
The way she was throwing Sasha Banks around like a rag doll, to me, that was entertaining. There was good stuff in this match from Nia Jax.
She was better than normal. But no, I'm not a big fan. But yeah, that was a fantastic end. That ending was awesome. Shayna Baszler using Sasha Banks' arm to choke out Bayley. I mean, and pretty much submitting both of them at the same time. I mean, I don't think you could get a cooler ending when it comes to a submission move. That was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a very fun match. Like I said, I'm a fan of Sasha Banks and Bayley. I really enjoy those two. Hate seeing them lose a championship. I hate kind of seeing that they're probably breaking up because I enjoy them together, but I know that's kind of the natural progression.
I love
what's going on here.
I love the golden role models. I kind of expected a different end. Like, I expected Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to probably win this match, but I kind of felt like it was going to be at the fault of one of them. And technically, it was at the fault of both of them because they both got stuck in a submission move. Now, I guess they could play it off that Sasha Banks is pissed off that Bayley tapped out because Bayley was the legal person and she's the one that tapped out.
I think that's obviously where this is going. The fact that Bayley tapped out, causing Sasha to lose her final championship she had left.
I don't think I saw Sasha tapping, so
yeah,
she could play that. Like, I was able to handle it, but I mean, that could be how they play this off, but yeah, I expected, like, maybe Bayley to accidentally do something to ruin the match for them, trying to cheat and screw up or something.
You know the funny thing about Bayley, to be honest with you, if you really think back the last several weeks, maybe even going back for a month, if it's not the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line, Bayley has actually lost quite a few matches lately. I mean, she lost the match for Asuka to get the title shot against Sasha Banks. So
she's been on a bit of a losing streak.
Yeah, she's kind of been on a bit of a losing streak until the SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line.
What you don't realize is during that match, she wasn't ready for Asuka.
So, yeah, I've noticed that Bayley's kind of been on a downslope. Even though it's showing Sasha's losing her titles, it's actually been Bayley losing quite often in non-title match situations. So it'd be very interesting to see where they go with this, because I think you were right earlier. I think we had mentioned earlier in the podcast that we think Bayley might be the heel here and Sasha be the face.
Yeah.
But they could flip that around where Sasha's jealousy could make her the heel.
Both are fantastic heels. So, I mean, this could work either way, but I think Sasha is going to be the face.
Very possible. But I do think Sasha's going to blame Bayley for this loss.
Yeah.
For tapping out. I think that's going to fuel this feud, or like a talking point to kind of kickstart this feud.
The only really way this story could go is with Sasha blaming Bayley, because, I mean, nothing happened where Bayley ruined it or anything like that.
You know, leading up to this pay-per-view, I kind of felt like maybe Sasha was going to sabotage them as a team.
That would feel way more heelish.
Well, almost as a jealousy just to remove Bayley from being Bayley Dostraps, and maybe the jealousy is going to kick in. But that didn't happen. So it does kind of surprise me that this match was won in the way it was won, because I kind of almost expected Sasha to, like, maybe Bayley reach for a tag and Sasha leaves, or I just kind of felt something like that was going to happen, and it didn't. So I'm really curious if the rest of this pay-per-view, if something more is going to happen backstage, maybe a little tiff between the two of them. So it'd be really interesting to see, or maybe we'll have to wait till Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the next one.
Okay, so next up we get a video package about Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton, to be honest with you. They show back what happened last weekend at SummerSlam, and then they show Randy Orton doing his attack on Monday Night Raw. Once again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying about it's just awkward that this pay-per-view, they showed a video package of one night. I mean, Keith Lee's arrival, and that's really all they have to show for the build-up of this match. So this is the match. It's Keith Lee versus Randy Orton, and it was a good match. It wasn't overly exciting, but it was quick, and it was there was a couple good spots. As a matter of fact, the way Keith Lee ended it, that was a very, very nice powerbomb.
Yeah, it was.
But the biggest shock here, which, I mean, WWE kind of put themselves in a corner here when they put these two together, is you want to build Keith Lee up. He just showed up on your show. It would have been ignorant to have him lose here. So that would have not made any sense to bring him up to Raw just to lose to Randy Orton. The idea behind this is definitely to show Keith Lee is
legit,
and he's up there with the main eventers, one of the best, you know, one of the most, you know, senior top guys in the company, and he beat him cleanly, you know. It was, but the weird thing about this is Randy Orton, two weekends in a row, two pay-per-views, lost. So Randy Orton's definitely. And here's the biggest question.
They've been really building him up as a monster too.
He's been
great.
Yeah, he's been taking out all these legends. He's been on a winning streak. Now all of a sudden he faces Drew McIntyre. He loses. Faces Keith Lee. He loses. So the question now is, whenever, I don't know what's going on with Drew McIntyre. I don't know why, you know, they had him basically attacked, but they have not stripped him of the title yet, so I'm assuming he'll be back.
Well, he came out and attacked Randy later on that
But then they attacked him again, and I think I believe on Raw they sent him out on an ambulance, you know, eventually at the end of the night. So the question here is assuming Drew McIntyre will be back tomorrow or on Raw or...
Well, he has 30 days to...
Yeah, he has 30 days.
30 days to defend his title or whatever, I think is the rule, essentially.
But like with Karrion Kross, he relinquished his title immediately because he knew he separated his shoulder. He'll be out for a while. So the question I have about Drew McIntyre is, what's going on? Why did they do that? Well,
I mean, I think that's just storyline. I haven't heard anything about Drew being actually injured, so... I think that's just storyline based.
But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is at the current moment, he's feuding with Randy. Randy just took him out, so he's going to want to go back to feuding with Randy, but Randy just got beat by Keith
Lee. Well, I think this is just a matter of showcasing Keith Lee as being a big deal. They didn't want to have Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre back-to-back pay-per-views like, and not just back-to-back pay-per-views, literally week-to-week. Like, this is just 1 week away. So I think they didn't want to rehash that rematch already. So they made a little bit of a storyline where Randy Orton attacked Drew and he can't be there. So they have Keith Lee face him, and then we'll probably get Randy Orton versus Drew rematch at the next pay-per-view.
I guess what I'm trying to say, though, is usually your challengers would have momentum going into a title shot because you would want to believe they have a chance of winning that title. So the question here is, where do they go from here? Is Keith Lee going to enter the title picture when Drew McIntyre?
That would be freaking huge, and I don't see it happening.
Similar to what Roman Reigns just did in the Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman thing.
Yeah, but Roman Reigns is not Keith Lee.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, does this... do you put them in a triple threat situation where Keith Lee could lose, not be the guy pinned?
That's pretty big deal if they put him in the title picture already, but.
Well, they just shoved him right in the middle of the title picture.
They kind of did. Maybe that's what they're doing. That could be interesting.
If he just beat the number one contender at Payback, they just put themselves in a position that he is technically should be somewhat the number one contender. So this was just
kind of have to see what happens on.
This was just kind of an odd scenario that they just put Keith Lee in, and so maybe they're wanting to fast track Keith Lee into the main event picture, and that maybe they want to see where it goes. But I, like I said, a triple threat match is a good way to showcase a guy without letting him be the guy pinned or submitted.
Fair enough.
He can lose the match without
they could do a whole thing where Keith Lee does his finisher on Randy Orton, and then Drew McIntyre gets the pin, and so it looks like really made Keith Lee look strong. But
exactly, that's usually a good thing to do in a triple threat match. So somebody like Keith Lee, who just showed up, can still go around saying, I've never been pinned or submitted on the show, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of an interesting curiosity of where this goes, because Randy Orton is supposed to be feuding with McIntyre. Even though he lost SummerSlam, he definitely continued that feud on Monday Night Raw. Yeah. So the question is where do they go from here? Because you just had your number one contender lose to the newcomer Keith Lee. So,
well, I guess they
kind of backed themselves into a corner here to see what's going to happen. So I'm very interested to see Raw and see how this shakes up.
Well, I guess we'll see on Raw, and now let's see what happens next on Payback.
Okay, so next, before the next match, we get another promo from Paul Heyman doing his thing, you know, his guarantees, blah, 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 move on to the next match. So we have...
love Paul Heyman, by the way.
Yeah, we love Paul Heyman. It just didn't feel like it was needed.
Yeah,
it was just apparently Roman Reigns has yet to sign the contract.
Right.
And Paul Heyman is guaranteeing that the contract will get signed and that he will become the Universal Champion, blah, 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 blah. So next we have the Mysterios versus the Monday Night Messiah, Seth Rollins, and the Disciple.
Disciple's name? Buddy Murphy?
Buddy Murphy?
Yeah. Or I think they've been...
Oh, they just call him Murphy, right? Yeah, Murphy. Okay. So the Disciple. So anyhow, so they have a tag match, and right from the get-go, this is high-octane wrestling. This is fun.
This was a fantastic match. I loved it, and there was so many cool spots. The barricades got a lot of love, and I swear, Murphy and Rollins got some whiplash. Hitting those, hitting their heads on those barricades on the outside.
Yeah, but the best part was how this match ended.
Well, even before the ending, it was, I mean, yeah, Rollins yells at Murphy, hey, kick him in the head. So he's trying to throw Mysterio into the corner, and Murphy is going to do an enziguri kick to the head of, Mysterio. Well, Mysterio counters it with like a hurricanrana that throws Rollins' head into Murphy's kick instead. That was the start of the awesomeness. And then Mysterio manages to get the tag on Dom, and Dom like slides Mysterio, or Rey, because they're both Mysterio, I suppose, slides Rey to the outside, and Rey does a like a tilt-a-whirl or spinning power bomb into the barricade to Rollins, and that was just amazing. And Dom finishes it with the 619 and the frog splash, his real dad's finisher. But yeah, it was definitely a fun match, very exciting, and the ending was just phenomenal.
Yeah, it was high octane. Ending,
and then we get a little bit of drama between Seth Rollins and Murphy. At the end of the match, Seth Rollins kind of staring him down like
Some dissension going on.
Disappointment. So we'll see. And he kind of walks up the ramp and leaves Murphy laying there. So we'll see where that goes. It might just be one of those like, you disappointed me, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he's
maybe. Maybe they'll go a little bit further into it.
They've been playing this whole cult leader thing with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
But I'm liking Rollins and Murphy. I'm not a
fan of the cult leader stuff. I'm not a fan of the... Yeah, I'm really not a fan of this gimmick. I like Seth Rollins. I'm not a fan of this gimmick.
Well, fair enough.
Just me. This is my personal opinion. Anytime you get kind of religious and stuff, I just don't like touching that. And I kind of feel like this is kind of on the edge of, he's the Monday Night Messiah, almost like, oh, you know, I'm your Jesus or whatever. And I just not a fan of that kind of gimmick. And I really like Seth Rollins as a wrestler. I remember watching him in Ring of Honor before he made it to WWE. And I've always been a fan of his, just not a fan of this gimmick.
I like it. I think it's fine. Seth Rollins really plays it off. He's pretty evil. I mean, it's pretty good. But I got to say, you know, Ray's been in the business for so long, and I don't think he's lost a step. I mean, his son is pretty good. I mean, I think we're going to see some great things with Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, he's like moves very much like Ray, but he's bigger.
Yeah, he's so much taller than his dad. poor Ray looks up a lot.
Ray is not his daddy.
Yeah, I told you, it's Eddie Guerrero. It's true, Dad.
There's no way. Come on.
All right. We're about to hit the main event.
Okay, so before the main event, we get the Hurt Business celebrating. They didn't really say anything, just kind of looked like
super
they were
happy about
super happy the leaving the building. And then we get a video package showing, once again, a short video package of this is what happened last Sunday and this is what happened on Friday Night SmackDown. And okay, so we're going to have a match now and a pay-per-view.
And what a match.
It was a heck of a match. It was weird though, because it was advertised as a triple threat match. But it mainly was a one-on-one up until the very end. So what we get is we get a Bray Wyatt comes out to his entrance.
Yeah.
And then we get Braun Strowman.
Well, technically it's The Fiend. The Fiend comes out.
I'm sorry. The Fiend comes out, and we get Braun Strowman comes out to no music and just attacks The Fiend right away. So this match is brutal from the get-go. You see a couple finishers immediately.
Yeah, and kickouts.
And kickouts immediately. And then they take the action outside. This becomes hardcore. We get a broken announce table. We get a mallet.
Yeah, a very giant mallet.
So, and then we also get footage of Alexa Bliss watching on.
In her ponytails and everything, kind of like when she was heel. Pretty sure she's going to join The Fiend here soon. I think that's what they're obviously going to.
Then they go up the ramp and Braun Strowman knocks The Fiend off the stage which they both take the tumble onto. I don't even know what you call that. The little... You know, equipment, we've seen we'll it before, equipment. The equipment that's on the side of the stage that they always fall into.
It's just a lot of fun. You got to remember, Roman Reigns still has not signed the contract.
And he's not out there.
So
this is basically a one-on-one match at this point.
So much destruction.
But then where this match gets really, really interesting is when Braun Strowman goes to the top ropes and The Fiend... does a superplex on him, and the ring collapse, similar to when
Brock Lesnar did this to Big Show. The ring just boom, 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 collapsed.
It was awesome.
The ref kind of flies out. We get a very over-exaggerated ref flopping out of the ring. So then at this moment, both men are down, and now we get Roman Reigns' music's hits, and Paul Heyman hands him the contract. He signs it, tosses the pen, and runs out. Well, he actually doesn't run out. He kind of walks out. Yeah, he kind of takes his time.
He has no care in the world. He has a steel chair in hand.
Yeah.
And just lollygags, just walks down to the ring, tries to pin the Fiend twice,
kicks out, then
he grabs that chair. Cause you know, you're not bringing down a chair without using it, right? So he starts beating the crap out of the Braun Strowman with it, tries to get the pin, still kicks out. Fiend starts fighting back, gets the mandible claw on him. And Roman gets the spear on Braun Strowman and eventually wins.
Yeah, so now we have a new WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, and I was just happy to see the Fiend not getting pinned.
Yeah. And I cannot believe after coming back, and I think it's official now. I believe it's official. We have a heel Roman Reigns.
Well, yeah, we knew that on Friday Night SmackDown.
I mean, I was kind of saying it when he came out and attacked both of them, but I mean, you could just be considered aggressive. But yeah, I mean, it started with Paul Heyman being his manager, or seeming to be his manager, or whatever you want to call that, at the end. So it seemed like that's where they were going, was heel. But, you know, it wasn't. I think this is official. You come out in the middle of a match after two guys just beat the hell out of each other and then sign the contract to try to get the easy win. There's no doubt about it. He's a heel. And then that was a match between three heels.
Well, you say that, but I don't know if Braun Strowman officially is
heel. Oh, no, he's definitely a heel.
Hell.
You don't attack someone that small like Alexa Bliss and get to still call yourself a face. Braun Strowman is a heel. He is a heel, and the Fiend is a heel, and I don't ever want him not to be a heel. He is the fan favorite, but he's still a heel. So this was three heels, and it was great. It was an amazing match. Destruction all around. Loved it. So good.
Yeah, I enjoyed this match. It was hellacious. It was very destructive. I mean, it's not every day that you get a ring collapse. I mean, that's happened maybe three times in the history of WWE that I can recall.
This may be controversial, but I thought Payback was probably better than SummerSlam. Payback was really good. I don't know if there was really a weak match on this card.
I mean, I could have done without the original bro, but other than that,
I guess that's the weakest match of the night.
But did you notice every title changed hands?
Yeah,
I believe so. Right?
Yeah,
new U.S. champion, new women tag team champion, and then the new Universal Championship. So every title changed hands here.
Yeah.
So,
Hardy. Hardy
was not in this match. I don't know what you were watching, but Hardy was not in this.
I thought we saw Hardy.
We did not.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, but yeah. Yeah, so then I think you're right then. But this was a really, really fun pay-per-view. And I mean, you might want to complain about it being a week later, but without much of a build-up, I mean, the most of the build-up was already building up to everything before with additions, but a really fun pay-per-view. So what was your favorite match?
I'm kind of torn here. The main event was really fun, destructive. The tag team match between Sasha and Bayley and Nia Jax,
Shayna Baszler.
That was a very good match. So I
think I'm going to have to stick with the main event, though. That main event was pretty destructive, pretty awesome. But
it's a tough choice. And actually,
it wasn't much of a wrestling match, though.
It was a hardcore
story. It was destructive. It was fun. So I'm just going to have to go with
that. I'm torn as well. And don't get me wrong. I loved the Golden Role Models match. I loved that one as well. But I'm torn between that Rey Mysterio and Dom Mysterio match. That has some super cool spots in it. And I mean, in the main event was awesome. Really? Then this one's tough, but I'm going to go with that tag match with Rey and Dom.
Okay.
I was surprised at how good it was. It's just like Dom keeps impressing me. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. It's really concerning me that you're not getting back on that call with me. Starting to think maybe you're doing the podcast without me, and that's not good. So, prefer that you don't. It's possible. Just fucking things up, man. Also, you know, if you're doing the PWA WTF Hall of Fame, just fucking, you got to know what the difference is between questions and trivia answers, man. You call them questions when they're not questions. And I don't trust that Ricky's going to hold you accountable for that. And I don't trust you guys doing the podcast without me. Just don't.
Yeah, I really don't think Craig's cool with this podcast thing.
Oops. So, no. I don't think he was. I think you're right. Should we delete it? Nah, we did all this work already. He'll be fine. I mean, it's fine.
It didn't sound fine.
Nah, it's cool. And, you know, that's trivia quiz, you know, whatever. It's what it is. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. I don't see a point in deleting all this now, so let's just end the show. I think that's the sensible thing to do is just end the show.
Okay.
All right. So, you got any pluggables you want to plug?
Yeah, you can find me on the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page. You can find me at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter.
And yeah, you can find me at Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, the Instagrams, the YouTubes, and my Twitter page is at Dragon Blazer Pro. All right, well, that's all we have for you here today. And just remember, we love pro wrestling, especially after these kind of pay-per-views. Sometimes that's okay.